Hey, how's it going? My name is Landon. Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we love the truth and in truth love to express the love of Christ, who is the truth. Here's Pastor James.
Hey, welcome back to the Home Church Network, and we're so glad that you've joined us for worship. This is part two in our series, The Power to Change, from Romans chapter 8. And this is kind of the intro. You know, I was pastoring a church. I had to go so fast all the time because everything's planned so far in advance. And now I don't have to. And I'm so glad I don't, because change is a big promise. And I'm promising you that your life in Christ will be transformed by Romans 8. I promise. But we're not going to hurry it. And so last time I was speaking on the Green Bay Packers and why the fans are terrible. No, that was a bit of a digression. Last time I was speaking on how all people are sinful from Romans chapter 1. Remember, we're getting the context because we're trying to fully load into our minds the earth-shattering reality of Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I spent all that time building up Romans 1, Gentiles are sinners. Romans 2, Jews are sinners. Romans 3, we're all sinners. Romans 4, hey, wake up, y'all. Abraham had this figured out a long time ago. He believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Romans 4, I think 3. And then 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ by faith in him. Chapter 6, well, let's just all sin then. If God likes to forgive and we like to sin, that's a perfect marriage. But no, meganoito, no. The strongest possible no, capital N-O in a long line of exclamation marks, not that. No one who really understands the grace of God to us in Christ would ever want to respond like that. But that kind of a statement makes me think, well, I actually kind of have thought that sometimes, and it kind of tends to suppress reality, and it creates all this self-righteousness among Christians. So Paul does us a solid under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 7, because he just opens up and says, yeah, I'm not the man I want to be. I know to do right, and I don't do it sometimes. I know the good. I choose the wrong anyway. What's wrong with me? In fact, the word that he chooses, and I'm reviewing now just for another moment. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. The word wretched I taught you last time is two words put together, the idea of carrying and the idea of calluses. It's like calloused over with the exhaustion born of long endurance in laboriousness activity. And a lot of people feel like that as Christians. Man, I tried for a long time. I tried so hard. I can't do it anymore. Right. But what if the trying is the problem? In fact, let me just say that there are kind of two major things that Romans 8 is going to solve for us. The power to change, as I'm calling it in Romans 8, is both the want to change and the way to change. It's the desire and the strength. It's both. And sometimes, if you understand Paul in Romans 7, sometimes I don't want what I should. Other times I want it more than I want anything else, but I don't do it. And how does that cycle get broken? Well, first thing, it gets broken like this. It gets broken by you understanding that all of your, I feel so bad, I feel like garbage, I hate myself, I'm such a piece of trash, I suck. If you're allowed to say that, if you're not allowed to say that, then you're judging me now for saying it, and you do too. All of us are sinful, fallen people, and we don't say it very much at church. This doesn't come up in a lot of Bible studies, but there's a lot of feeling like I'm failing when I'm by myself, when I think no one's looking, when I'm sure no one will find out, and not just the big nasty sins that I could say, but the secret ones and the good left undone. James says, if you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. How many good things do I know to do and I'm just too selfish to do them consistently? So if we could put that quote up again, I just want to say it again. The power to change of Romans 8 is both the want to change and the way to change. And I showed you a little video of a turtle I kicked in a pond because it couldn't get off the road. And there was an example of something that really wanted to be changed but didn't have the capacity. And sometimes we have the want, but we don't have the way. And sometimes we have the way, but we don't have the desire. Now, take all your frustration about that and recognize this. That's what has you stuck. You just feel bad about where you are. The only thing worse than trying and failing is failing to try. But I just gave up some time ago because I can't take the pain of getting. Just stay down, man. Just stay down. It's the getting up and falling. That's what I can't take. And so no surprise that the beautiful Spirit of God inspires Paul to say, all right, I opened my soul to you. I told you how frustrated I was. Now this, and it should be in the same chapter. Therefore, given how wretched you feel about where you've been and how wretched I feel about where I've been, I think it's interesting to note, by the way, that this is real humility, y'all. When he's talking about sin, he talks about himself. I struggle. I don't do the things that I want to do. But as soon as he gets to the grace of the gospel, he starts talking about everyone else. Notice, there is no condemnation. You'd think he was going to say, for me, because I'm in Christ Jesus, but he doesn't. In humility, he opens the floodgates of heaven and pours the grace out upon all of us. There is therefore now no condemnation. And we learned last time that condemnation means a false judgment. It's the idea of a verdict was passed, but it isn't true. If you feel bad about your failure as a Christ follower, God's not with you in that. And worse, if you think your ministry is pointing out how other Christians are failing, God's not with you in that. Not at all. In fact, I've had some of my lowest times, and I ended last time by saying, people say, yeah, man, you're going to have some great sermons out of all of this. Well, I have been to some passages that I'd never been to before. I've never really taught through 2 Corinthians, and I don't even remember past, you know, reading along. I don't ever remember really paying attention to 2 Corinthians 1:8. But let me read it to you, because this is where I've been. Paul says to the Corinthians, he's been speaking about how God comforts us with in our affliction so that we can comfort others in their affliction. And he says in verse 8, we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. Remember Asia Minor? Just think like Turkey and Greece and all the way to Rome and all those, you know, bays along the northern side of the Mediterranean, planting churches everywhere. Ephesus, the biggest city, was there for 3 years. Leaves in Acts chapter 20, but it's all in the book of Acts. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Who wrote that in the Bible? Paul did not write that. Yeah, he did. No way did Paul write that. No way, my hero Paul. Yes, 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 yes. Same guy in Romans 7. So wretched sometimes he felt when he looked in the mirror. Been there. And now here he says that we were so, the RSV translates that utterly burdened. Do you see that there? They translate it utterly and unbearably crushed. We were so unbearably crushed. He's like, Paul, what are you talking about? We were so unbearably crushed beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Does that mean what I think it means? Paul, you were going to like off yourself? Well, no, I don't think he's saying that, but I think he's saying I wouldn't have cared if someone else did. I wouldn't have cared if my life was over. I can't keep doing this. Actually, exa, poreth and I means without, I had no exit, I had no way out. I felt so trapped. I feel like he's sharing my testimony. I felt so trapped. So I think it begs the question, keep your finger in Romans 8 for a minute and go with me back to Acts. What's going on here, Paul? What I mean, I read the book of Acts, man. You were rocking it. You were planting churches everywhere. It was the kingdom enterprise was booming as far as I can tell. Yeah, but because the Bible, as I said, is not a glossy retouched photo, look for some of the stuff he actually says. For example, I'm in Acts chapter 13. He's there, he's preaching, the Holy Spirit led them there. But verse 9 says, but Elymas, the magician, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So some relational conflict. Over later in chapter 13, verse 45, but when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with, what's it say? Jealousy. And began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Verse 50. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. That was a rough chapter. Chapter 14, verse 4. But the people of the city were divided, and an attempt was made, verse 5, to mistreat them and to stone them. That's going to leave a mark. To stone them. How's it going, Paul? Not awesome. Acts 14, 19. But the Jews from Antioch and Iconium, these people are on a tear now. They're like obsessed. It's not enough to hassle Paul till he leaves our city. Now we've got to go hassle him, and he's in a different city. He's not. His smoke's not even getting in my nostrils anymore, but I got to go chase him down and find him so I can... You see it right there? The Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. How badly stoned are you if the people trying to kill you conclude, he's dead? It's not a margin call, right? Then notice a little bit later, encouraging the believers in verse 22, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. I could go on and read about this more and more. Chapter 16, verse 19, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace. And then it says in verse 22, gave orders to beat them with rods, threw them into prison. Yeah, but he was singing in prison. Yeah, but with tears, y'all. Stop with your retouched photo. They were destroyed. They were beaten. Their backs were bleeding. They coughed out a song because they knew it was right. If you think this was some glory ride here, so much more happens. I'll show you a couple more. Chapter 17, but the Jews were jealous. Verse 5, taking some of the wicked of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason. Verse 13, but when the Jews from Thessalonica, here they come, they rented a bus. They learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea. Also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. I know what that feels like. Not to the degree, but I'm sure that I'm a weaker person than Paul by quite a bit. So the impact of less maybe was more than it should have been on me. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. In spite of all these things, Paul was seeing God do. He was caught in the undertow of loud and persistent condemnation. I'm going to just take a second and read that to you again. In spite of all the great things that Paul was seeing God do, he was caught in the undertow of loud and persistent condemnation. And if that isn't enough, just make a note of this. Condemnation is unrelenting bad judgment. We learned last time, it means false conclusions. And it destroys the desire and the capacity, both the want and the way. It destroys the strength and the willingness to change. In fact, this false judgment, this condemnation, I'm expounding on Romans 8:1 that says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And I'm teaching you that Paul experienced it. He felt wretched himself, and he felt exceedingly condemned by some among those that he was ministering to. So much so that we get a little instruction in, I was in 2 Corinthians 1, and now I just want to go back and show you this in 1 Corinthians 4, and then we're going to go the rest of the time and finish up those awesome words in Romans 8, 1. But look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul says this. I'm going to give you a little five-point message here. This is just for free because I love you, just like on the side. Like some people, they preach and preach and preach. They haven't said anything. I'm putting a whole sermon in the next 3 minutes, just like a little throwaway. And you, because I love you, you can go study this one on your side. Ready? 1 Corinthians 4, 1. This is how we should regard us. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Are you faithful? What is faithful? It's required that we be faithful, but what is faithful? Well, here's what I can tell you for sure. False judgment about faithfulness is just that. In fact, let me give you five facts about false judgment right here from this text. Here's the first one. Notice in verse 3, he says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court." At the end of the day, your false verdicts against me are small. Notice he doesn't say they're nothing, because too many of them had had too much of an impact on Paul. I get it. But he says it's small. It's a small thing, and it's got to be kept that way. And this is really interesting. Then he turns it on himself. Here's the second thing. Five facts re false judgment. Your judgment of me is small. Secondly, my judgment of myself or me is unreliable. Notice he says, it's a small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Why, Paul? He says, I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not acquitted by that. Paul recognizes that we're harder on others and easier on ourselves. And so he's like, I'm not letting my assessment of how I'm doing carry the day with me. Maybe the source of the false condemnation, the false judgment, maybe it's me. Maybe it's you. And what you're saying, maybe it's me. And some of us, we don't hear what others say, but we're so hard on ourselves. Paul said both of those are condemnations, false judgments. So five facts re false judgment. Your judgment of me is small. My judgment of myself is unreliable. Oh, here it is. All judgments are premature. What's worse than the opening arguments and then, I got a verdict. Really? Because God's word says, therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time. There's a time for a verdict, and it's an eternal time until time ends for you and for me and for civilization itself. Until our time is up, there is still time. There's still time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to turn. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, Paul says later in Romans. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's time to awake out of sleep. It's never too late for the Christ follower to close the gap between what they profess and what they actually practice. So let's lose the false judgments. Yours is small. Mine's unreliable. All of them are premature before the time. Oh, and then this is important. God's judgment reveals unseen facts and motivations. See it in the text? Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness. So there's some facts you don't have. Well, I know what I think about. Do you? Do you? Do you really know? Do you? That's awesome. But you don't know a lot. No, I know everything. No, you kind of don't. And if you think you know everything, then you've been on the internet too long. And man, the number of people that were so sure about who was going to get elected and so sure about who should be impeached and so sure, God forgive us for our certainty. And man, have we ever had a world where the news was nothing more than one person's particularly cultivated opinion? And so that's why we're not judging, because there's facts that we don't know. The time will come when the Lord will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. That's what we really don't know. We don't know why people do what they do. You don't know why she said that. You don't know why he went there. You don't know why they did that. So lose the false judgments, the condemnations. The last thing is, the result is commendation. This should blow your mind. Notice it says, Therefore, do not pronounce judgment, 1 Corinthians 4, 5, before the time, before the Lord comes, will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his, typo. It should say each one will receive his condemnation from God. So you, man, that guy should, man, that person, that girl, that person should be, and we can't wait for God to do it, but wait for it. He's not ever going to do it. In regard to Christ, I learned this little verse, on him almighty judgment fell that should have sent the world to hell. God is fully and completely satisfied with the payment of Christ for your sin. And there is no condemnation in the future of a believer. You are forgiven, past, present, and future. Any assessment of you in the future will be, what did you do with the opportunities that were given? Just that. And if you've given it your all, you will receive some level of commendation. That's what God's judgment of Christians is about anyway. It's about, man, it was so awesome when you were doing this. Man, it was so great. I was so proud of you, my daughter, my son. When you were doing this, that was you at your best. The commendation. Why do we all fall into bad judgment and commendation? I was thinking about this week, and so I thought I'd bring a couple of little friends with me to help me explain this. If it is true, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Here's the first guy. He's pretty sure that he's awesome. So he's like, but what about you? But what about you? And what about you? You're doing some stuff you shouldn't be doing. And you got to get it together. So this is commendation, man. And then this is like Paul in Romans 7. You know, I'm terrible. I'm such a little Christian. I'm not good at anything. But these people have a different side of the same problem. He's condemning others. He's condemning himself. But wait. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So you got these two guys, and then you've got, I just wanted to bring someone friendly and popular, and because my second son, Landon, is a little bitter that I've never watched a Star Wars movie with him, this is my sort of tipping my hand to the crowd, and this is where we want to be. So this guy is, I condemn you, and this guy is, I condemn myself. And this one is no condemnation. But because I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, let's put someone in there we can relate to a little better. These guys. Okay? So what they're saying is, wow, this is really tough, James. I don't know if I can really do this. I agree, it's very difficult. But we have to really give our all. And Romans chapter 8 is going to help us. Right, but I just feel like I haven't been everything that God wants me to be. Me neither. I really get that. But here's the point. We have to live like there's no condemnation over us. God is not furrowing his brow. God is, right, he's not frowning upon us. Not at all. Are you getting it? This is where we want to be. Not here, destroying the work of God ourselves within us. Not here, letting the voices of others tear us down. But just here. Romans, if I could get these two a shirt, I would put on it, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so you don't want to be like this guy. This is the Bible thumper. Let me just tell you, nothing is written in the Bible for you to weaponize. Okay? This is Bible thumper guy. And he's saying, the Bible says, and he's going around with his Bible all the time, and he's just pounding people constantly about this or that or the other thing. Did Jesus do that? Was Jesus doing that? No, I don't think Jesus wasn't doing that. Well, I'm doing it. Well, you shouldn't be doing it. Someone who's been around a little bit needs to have the courage to tell you, so I'll tell you. You shouldn't be doing that. But you're neither closer nor further from victory than the person who doesn't need your condemnation. They're more than hard enough on themselves. Neither one of those, just this. We can't get all the awesome stuff that's coming our way in Romans chapter 8 unless we, you're like, James, this sermon doesn't even have an outline. Yes, it does have an outline. Therefore, condemnation No. No condemnation. Let that blow your mind. There is? Good. We'll go over there is for a minute. There is. Notice the certainty of Paul. How many things in the Christian life are there was? Me before Christ, my sin, my past, there was. There's so much there was in the Bible. And then there's so much there will be. I have to preach another sermon about someday, someday, someday. Man, when's the Bible going to do it today, man? I'm only ever living today. And thank God for forgiveness in the past. And I'm sure looking forward to heaven someday. But how about right now? Here it is. Here it is. Romans 8, 1. There is. Right now. Right now, today, circle the date. No condemnation over you. Right now. There it is. There is no condemnation. It's what it is. No condemnation. Just turn to your neighbor and say, it's what it is, y'all. But say it more like a gangster. It's what it is, y'all. It's what it is, y'all. It's what it is. I'm not very good at sounding bad, but I have fun trying. I'm seeking some humorous ways to express to you what should be a life-altering reality. This moment, as in all moments past, and as in all moments future, the only opinion that really matters is the opinion of your Father in heaven. And whether you're in your greatest victory week or you're in your lowest point ever, there is right now, nor was there nor will there be any condemnation of you. No, 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 no condemnation. So, therefore, there is now, right now, right now, no condemnation. There may be people that are trying. You may have trouble silencing that persistent voice that you often raise against yourself because it was how you were taught to think. But it doesn't change the reality. It's this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'll get to that in a moment. But let this be your point of identification. A friend called me on the phone this week. We're working on consolidating two of the Walk in the Words property that's been returned to us is in two different locations. We're trying to put it all together in one warehouse. And so we got some wonderful people helping us, and we're so grateful for their help. And the one guy called me on the phone, he's like, yeah, I want to hire this moving company to help us do this. They're called His Movers. Well, I'm sure they're wonderful people, and I hope they don't hear this, and God bless them. No condemnation. But why would you call your company His Movers? Why would you do that? The other day I was out driving, and I saw something. It was something like that. It was like His Breakfast Joint or something with like a big cross on it. I was like, why are you doing that? He's like, I want everyone to know that we belong to Him. That's not what they think. They think that this is the kind of restaurant Jesus would have. It's like, did you ever see the bumper sticker? Because Christians are always putting bumper stickers on their car. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. And somebody made a new bumper sticker that was like, Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven, dot, 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 for driving like crap. Isn't that hilarious? It's like, why are you flying that flag? Stop treating your Christian life like your Facebook page. Okay? You're not branding yourself. You're in relationship with a person who can empower your transformation. Christianity is not some point of, look at me over here. I have a shirt on that says, what? What? We're to be loving others, not being a little PR package for Jesus or something, which I don't think that's working awesome anyway. So, stop treating your Christ following like a Facebook page and start treating it like a proximity to a very influential person in your life. That very influential person does not want us condemning others and does not want us condemning ourselves, and most importantly, does not level bad judgment against us. So, no matter how wretched you feel, you are not under condemnation. There is no sentence of death over you. No matter how many people talk to you like you're on Christian death row, there's no condemnation over you. There's none. No matter how many crappy Christians wag their finger at your prosperity or your parenting or your propensity to who knows what, remember this. There is no condemnation. But wait, there's a catch. You must know I'm at the end of the verse. What's the catch? It's not no condemnation for the world. Okay? It's not no condemnation for the religious. Everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. But do you know verse 17? That Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world. But this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. There is condemnation in the rejection of Christ, but there is no condemnation in the following of Christ through faith in him. Are you in Christ? We read Romans 6:23 last time. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Have you taken the gift of eternal life that God offers to us in Jesus Christ? You say, how do I get that? I've said it again, and I love to say it. It's as simple as ABC. Accept the fact that you're a sinner. Romans has been saying that over and over. If you have any doubt about that, just call your sister-in-law. Okay? You for sure are a sinner. We have all broken God's law in many ways. I mean, you can't get to end of the first commandment, just the top 10. You're like, I'm so, remember, you know, no other gods. Oops, I'm already in the ditch. So accept the fact that you're a sinner and need God's forgiveness. Then believe that Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sin. Now, here's the cool thing. Either you believe that or you don't. And the Bible says that even the faith is a gift. So if you look in your heart and you're like, you know, I do believe that. I actually believe that. I believe it. I know people that don't believe it. I remember when I didn't believe it, but I believe it. I believe that Jesus died. So what do you do with that belief? A, accept the fact you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus Christ. Romans says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And then C, confess it. Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, you go and write an email to info@jamesmcdonaldministries. I got several emails in the last 10 days from people who said they'd come to know Christ through our ministry. Praise God. Is it you today? Is it time for you to just formally accept the fact that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for your sin, and confess Jesus Christ now as the Lord and as the Savior of your life? Say it out loud. Well, who am I going to tell? I just told you who. Write to me at the ministry. Just send it to info@jamesmcdonaldministries.org. I will get it. I will read it. We will be thrilled to hear of your new life in Christ and how blessed we would be to be able to support you in this. I'm going to be teaching the Bible in this format for the foreseeable future, and I would love to be your pastor and help you grow in your faith in Christ. We're going to be spending a lot of time in the weeks to come on what it really means to change, but I want to close with this assurance because it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Here's how you know for sure if you're in Christ Jesus. Does this stuff matter to you? Do you care about this? Is it still, is there something in there about it? Because Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The fact that you're sitting here listening to this today when a lot of people be like, what time is it and when is he going to shut up? But you care about it because God's done something in you. That's God in you. And he who began a good work in you is going to perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your past says about you. It doesn't matter what your parents say about you. It doesn't matter what your problems say about you. God says that he loves you, that he's working in your life, that he doesn't condemn you, that he has great things in your future. And we're going to be learning in the weeks to come all about how change happens by the power of the Holy Spirit, where the will comes from and where the way comes from, both the motivation and the means, okay? It's all coming. I can't wait to get into the rest. We're going to take a few verses at a time now, but we've spent these first couple of weeks because you can't go anywhere if you're still condemning others, if you're still wallowing in your own self-condemnation. Neither of those. I am not condemned in God's eyes, and he's not done with me yet, and he wants to change me, and I long to see it happen. Are you there with me? Come on, let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for the chance to be in your word again. I thank you for each precious person, and though only in my mind's eye I can see them, I know by your spirit that they are bowing with me. And together we're just humbling ourselves and saying that we are stirred by the thought that there are still victories for us in the future and that there are still great days ahead to plumb the depths of the finished work of Christ and see more of his beauty displayed in my life. So God, we long to change. We long to be all that you want us to be, and we thank you that the desire there is from your Holy Spirit. We renounce the efforts of the accuser of the brethren, and we refuse the message that we are under some stern sense of your disappointment because we're not all that we should be. Thank you for the Holy Spirit inspiring Paul's honesty about the wretchedness that he felt. And thank you that he could exclaim with joyfulness that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I pray for those who are just now coming to be in Christ that this would be a foundation stone of many years of faith. And for those of us who have known you for some time, kindle afresh in us a desire to be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, by the gospel, and according to your word. Help us to these ends and watch over us until we're together again, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Hey, Romans 8, every day, read it. See you next time. Love you.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving God and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.